And away we go.
Here we are again, yet again. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to Relatively Subjective. I'm David.
I'm George.
And we are cousins.
And we're cousins.
And our thoughts are on movies are subjective.
And yep.
Hence the title of this podcast that you're listening
to. We came up with that ourselves.
On two ears.
Can you believe it?
Right now.
We're so smart. We didn't pay anyone. No one was paid. We are not paid.
Not even ourselves.
Sponsored by MoviePass. But not so together. Much anyway anymore.
No, cool. They're going back.
We have a special treat for you this week.
So we're doing
another double feature.
Yeah. Two movies.
Yes.
One that we kind of all know is going to do well.
Yeah.
And one that we didn't know if it was going to do well.
I
or
honestly
not.
Didn't even know it was coming out.
Yeah,
but it did.
Didn't even know. Yeah. I didn't see too many trailers. I mean, I saw some trailers.
Whoever did the marketing for this a little while ago. Yeah,
but then like recently, I didn't see any commercials or like advertisements or anything for it at all.
Yeah, for me, Slender Man was like an article.
We're
talking about Slender Man, by the way. Yeah, a year ago, it's like Slender Man will become a movie. I'm like, oh, that's probably gonna be okay, maybe, hopefully. And then a commercial I saw the day before, and I was like, oh, it's already coming out. Cool,
that's happening. Wow. All right.
Yeah,
let's do it. I'm
going to be reviewing Black Klansman.
Yes.
Yeah. We've put up our first poll this last week and asked you, the audience, what you would want us to review. Since we kind of didn't have any that we had our heart set out on. Unfortunately, the Meg didn't make it. No, neither of us saw the Meg. Honestly, I think it's because what are you talking about? It looks so good and scientifically accurate.
Oh, goodness.
Jason Statham.
I mean, that's all you really need.
Yeah.
He drives the entire movie. Fighting a giant CGI shark.
Yep.
What else could you want?
Who wins? Jason Statham.
I wonder.
Probably
Jason Statham. I also hope that there's going to be a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Meg 2.
Yeah. We know there is. I had a baby or something. Anyway, let's get down to business.
To defeat the Hun.
Who started?
I believe you started last time.
So you take us on an adventure. Scare me, David. Scare me.
Slenderman.
So this Slenderman started as a creepypasta, right?
Yes, I believe it started on the internet. It was a character created. They actually like credit the guy too, creating at the end of Slenderman.
Well, I think that's because they don't want any other kids trying to sacrifice other kids. Did you see that? Like, there was a story not too long ago where
Eric Knudsen.
Knudsen.
Also known as Victor Surge.
Yeah, because these pictures would surface on the internet of, you know, him in the background of old
and
quote unquote and old pictures.
And they even mentioned that in the movie, which I thought was really cool, was that, you know, we humans took the story of him and like inflated it so much that he actually became a living entity.
Ooh,
and like took people away.
Interesting.
It was actually pretty cool. It was cool. The lore, but I mean, I knew the lore behind it because I am prevalent on the internet.
We're fans of creepypastas.
And I played the video game, or I've seen the video game being played and stuff. So it was nothing new to me. I knew it was going to be one of those just like scary movies, but I didn't know if it was going to be like a truth or dare, or if it was going to be like an It.
Yeah.
So like, there's a lot of room in between that. Like, and especially since we reviewed a few good scary movies like Hereditary on this show, like a Quiet Place. It was I honestly tried to go in with like not no expectations and not low expectations, but like expecting enough and trying to be entertained by it.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it definitely did its job.
Really.
It was. I thought it was enjoyable. So anyway. Let me take you into the world that is Slenderman the movie.
Yeah.
By
the way, if you guys hear fighting in the background, they're playing Dragon Ball Z Fighters in the living room.
That's happening.
That's the sound of the week in the background. All right, that's gonna be a thing now. Whatever's going on in the background,
that's
the sound of the week.
That's what's gonna happen.
All right, so go ahead.
So the movie starts, and it's these four girls who are like high school age, and they're all, you know, they're all like sophomores, I think, in high school, and they're all kind of fun. They're all individual. There's Ren, who is played by Joey King, who's a really good actress. Like, she's been in some other stuff, and she's like she's the badass friend. Like, she doesn't give a shit. She's like fiery, and she's like in your face. Mm-hmm. And then you have Hallie, who's the main character, who's played by Julia Goldani-Tells, and she is the main character. She is actually the one that kind of drives the story forward. She's the one that kind of keeps her head the most. Chloe is played by Jazz Sinclair, and she she's I don't know, it's hard to kind of explain her though, because she doesn't last very long. And then you have Katie, who's played by Annalise Basso, and she's the first victim of Slenderman. So, but it's really cool. So the movie starts out with just they're introduced to these four girls. They're in, like, you know, it's the end of the day and they're leaving high school, whatever, and they're just like, they all got crushes on, like, there's the same kind of group except in boy version. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Powerpuff Girls and the Rowdy Rough Boys. Nice. Like, it's like the girls versus the boys, and obviously, like, there's a token guy for each girl and they all kind of like flirt with each other, but it's awkward teenage flirting. So then they go over, it's a Friday night, they go over to Katie's house and they have a little sleepover, and Ren is texting one of the boys from the other groups, and he tells them that they're going to be summoning Slenderman. So then Ren is just like, fuck it, we're doing that too. Let's do it. We're going to summon Slenderman. It's
peer pressures.
So it's very, very simple, very easy. Yeah. And we actually had a talk about this in a couple of episodes ago about, like, demons and, like, the occult and stuff affecting technology. And in this movie, I actually think they did it well, even though they didn't explain a lot of it, which I think in this movie it kind of worked. Like, you didn't need the explanation, to me, I think.
Okay.
So they're on the internet and they're just searching. Basically, they just type into Google
Slenderman.
How to summon Slenderman.
Oh, no.
And they're taken to this weird Russian website, because it has to be Russian.
Yeah.
And it's literally just like a Ring video. Like, it's a video that takes up the entire screen. You press play, and then once you finish the video, he is summoned. Like, that's really it.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that.
So it's like the video comes up and it's prefaced with some lore about Slenderman. So this is part of the creepypasta and also part of the video game, if you've ever played it. And there's like a nursery rhyme that goes on before it. So it's just like, you know, to summon Slenderman, you have to do these steps. It all rhymes and stuff. I don't remember it all. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's on the first bell, close your eyes. In the distance, you'll hear a second bell. On the third bell, open. And the impression of Slenderman will be, you know, forced on you, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So they're listening to the video. You hear the first bell. They all close their eyes. And I have to say, the cinematography, the tricks that they use in this movie were really good.
Really?
Yeah. It was surprising how much emotion was conveyed literally just by how they placed and cut the camera. Like, it was actually surprisingly impressive. So even in this short little part, literally it's only 10 minutes, not even, of them summoning Slenderman, you cut hundreds of times between, like, a full shot of all of them sitting around the computer, and then, like, close-up shots to them closing their eyes. And then when the third bell rings, when they open their eyes and they're actually watching the movie, you get the full screen of the computer screen, and, like, it's random flashes of, like, weird occult symbols, kind of like The Ring, like, weird people, like, walking in the woods and stuff.
Black and white footage.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it intercuts with each of them, like, a super close-up of their eyeball watching the screen, and then you can see, like, what's going on in the screen through their eyeball.
Mm.
So it's, like, really cool how they play with depth and camera and stuff like that. And like I said, it was impressive. So you find out later that there are certain parts of the video that impress on each girl. And at the end of the video or something, or probably at the beginning of the video, it says that basically Slenderman does one of four things to you.
Ooh.
He either accepts you with open arms, makes you go crazy, forces you to kill yourself, or he kills you.
Oh.
So it's just like, you know, and obviously there's one of four things because there's one of four girls, and, like, each one obviously meets an end.
I guess the main character's gonna get embraced. That's my guess.
No.
Oh.
So Katie, the one whose house they go to, she's like, she's got an abusive and drunk father, and she, like, always talks about, like, running away or, like, leaving this place, whatever. And, like, their friends, like, all the other girls are kind of just like, haha, yeah, wouldn't that be great? And they, like, talk about it, but never serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
She's serious about it.
Yeah.
She summons Slenderman. Literally the next day, she goes missing.
Oh, shit.
So she was the one that accepted Slenderman
to take her away
because she just wanted to leave. And there's, I mean, like, and everything modern that you think would happen with a missing persons case happens. Like, they're all questioned by the police. The police go on a hunt. They bring out the dogs, like, helicopters, everything. And she's just gone. So, like, it's pretty cool about, like, not leaving like trail behind, like there's no loopholes basically. Yeah. There's no plot holes, which I thought was also really good because a lot of scary movies do that very often.
Yeah.
So basically, once you summon Slenderman, he does one of those four things to you. Chloe, played by Jazz Sinclair, she meets her end by going crazy. So he can, Slenderman can basically do anything. He can be anywhere. He can, you know, he follows you.
So what's his deal? Like, he just like makes, like haunts you? Like, he's just like walking behind you? Or like, does he grab you? Does he?
Yeah. So he can physically interact with you. He can touch you. He can. So one of the things that they hear in the video is that obviously if you've ever played the game, the where he takes you or where he wants you to go is in this big field. It's a forest and like trees and woods and stuff. So one of the things that they did in the video is that once you start to hear him or once you embrace him, whatever, you will not hear any other sounds but him. And the sound that he makes is actually pretty creepy. It's wood, literally like trees and wood creaking.
Ooh.
So like anytime that in the movie you hear like the crunching of wood or whatever, he's near. And it cancels out like any other sound. So, and it happens in the movie multiple times. So like you kind of get a feel for it when he's coming.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's at like some pivotal moments in the movie. Like there's the part where Hallie like is has a crush on this one sports guy and he comes over and like they're talking to him, talking to her, whatever. And she just so happens to glance towards like the woods behind the school. And Slenderman's literally just standing there and she gets fucking freaked out and she actually looks back at the sports guy and he's speaking, but she can't hear him.
Because all she hears is the creaking.
Because all she hears is the creaking. So like she's getting freaked out herself and then she's like looking back and forth and then she like finally snaps out of it and then she like looks back at the woods and he's not there, of course. But there's one part that freaked me out. And he does this a lot. Like Slenderman will, he can invade your dreams. Like he can make you make have nightmares and show you things that are horrible and awful. And then you wake up and then you think you're awake, but obviously you're not. And you have another dream and then you wake up again. So like there was a lot of psychological
where you were just games. Like, is this real?
Yeah,
is this
not real? Going on.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because even though like I've seen Slenderman in the video game, I know what he looks like in the drawings and stuff. Like he is not scary to me. Like you can show, I can look him up on my computer right now and he does not make me feel fear. It's what he did to make them go crazy and in the movie how they used him and his image and the sound to create one universe that like could fear him that got me.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like very impressive, because even with Pennywise in It, like It was a terrifying movie. Pennywise himself, you could show me a picture of him, I'm not scared of him.
Yeah.
But it's the scenario that they put him in and the underground dark and then the feeling and the music, everything together that makes him scary. And that's, I think, a part of what makes a good scary movie. You can't just rely on the horror guy. It has to be everything.
Yeah.
So they did this just as well as I thought they did that, which says a lot.
Yeah.
So Chloe, who's played by Jazz Sinclair, she's in her room. Like, she's literally just on her phone, like trying to go to sleep, whatever, it's at night. And then she gets a random call and she like her phone kind of just like explodes with sound and she looks at it and it just opens up and it's a video of like someone recording right outside her house.
Oof.
So like she runs to the window, looks down, obviously no one's there. And then you see the video, she watches her phone and the video or the recording gets closer to her front door and just phases through her front door.
Oh, shit.
And then, like, goes up the stairs and everything.
No.
And she's, like, freaking out. She doesn't know what to do. And, like, does obviously, if you fucking saw that on your phone, you'd be, like,
hop out the window.
It's scary stuff, man.
Yeah.
So, like, it literally stops right at her front door. And she has to either open the door or let it come in. So she holds the phone, but she's, like, holding it, like, grasping it with one hand.
Grasping.
And she like swings open the door and she looks and obviously he's not there. So then she like, she's, you know, swiveling around in her room and like you hear the creaking but you don't see him yet until she like looks out the window and obviously he's right over her shoulder.
Oh.
So like you hear him like creak out of the shadows and then kind of like put his hands on her shoulder and he like pulls her around and starts choking her. And she's just, like, screaming. And then what you see is him, like, her looking at him. And then she turns to the right, and it's a mirror. And it's her own hands around her throat.
Ooh.
And so, like, she, like, drops to the floor. And then she's like, after that, she's gotten scarred. Like, she's basically crazy and she doesn't really speak the rest of the movie. Mm. And at the end, it infers that she died as well.
Oh.
So,
damn.
So it's pretty intense. So Ren is being very, like, Ren is being assaulted with these images as well. And much more so than the rest of the girls. Hallie's the one that kind of, like I said, she lasts the longest. She doesn't go crazy. She doesn't get killed. But one of the things that, through, you know, internet research and stuff, they go onto this website where they found the video and ask, like, is there any way to stop him from, you know, killing us or making us go crazy? And they found one post or one person that could help them. And it said, he wants someone. So you can, if you want, replace your number basically with someone else's, and
that's
he'll
always
kill
the case.
Exactly,
isn't
it? He'll kill someone else and not you. So what does Ren do to save herself? She tries to sacrifice Hallie's little sister.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's pretty intense too. It's pretty intense because, like, every time you summon him or you go into the woods to, like, you know, say his name or whatever. Like, on this website, there's videos of, you know, everyone who's ever done it over the years, whatever, to, like, proliferate his name and keep it out there forever. And Hallie looks it up because she's looking for help, and she sees the video, and she just happens to watch, like, the last video that was posted, and she finds out that her sister was in the woods, and then the camera phone turns, and then she sees Ren. So she, like, she busts down Ren's door, basically, and she's just like, you know, she, like, kind of like tackles her to the floor and, like, doesn't, like, start punching her or whatever. But she's just like, why would you do that? Why would you, like, do, like, take my sister? And Ren was just like, it's the only way. It's the only way. Like, he doesn't want anything but a soul. Like, so I thought I could trick him by giving him your sister. Uh-huh. And so she was just like, you know, they kind of, like, curse each other out. But obviously, like, they're best friends, so they make up real quick. But then Ren is taken out of her window by trees, like a tree trunk, not like a tree branch comes in and, like, impales her a few times on the arms and legs and then pulls her out of the window. So she did.
Uh-huh.
And then Hallie is, like, you know, freaking out. She runs to try to save her. And obviously she runs right into the woods. And she's just, like, you know, thinking about it. She's like, you know, what can I do? If there's anything I can do. So then finally she follows the noise of the creaking, you know, whatever, where Slenderman is supposed to be. She goes, like, through the gates. Like, there's, you know,
There are gates
that delineate where he came from or whatever.
Yeah.
So she, like, goes through it into, like, his realm where his home base is. And it's just, like, this one really crooked looking tree.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically runs to him, and he freaks her out a bunch, obviously, like, hides around trees and stuff. She, like, is scared, but she doesn't care, because once he looks at her in the face, she says it, leave my sister alone, take me. And he does.
Aww.
He grabs her, pulls her, like, basically by the feet, like, dragging her towards this tree, and then he puts her arms around her, and then his fingers and his arms turn into just tree bark. And it covers her entire body and her face. And lastly, it just covers her eyes. And then she's just part of the tree.
Holy shit.
And then there's a really small part at the end where the sister was in the hospital for basically
getting crazied by Slenderman.
And there was a beginning, like, voiceover explaining about him from Hallie. And then it was the little sister. Her name was Lizzie. It was at the end. It was her voiceover. And it was, like, it could have been really good, but it ended weird.
Oh, no.
Like, all you saw was, like, kids in the same high school, but, like, putting their books away and stuff, like, walking through the halls. You didn't see her. You just heard her voiceover. And she said something like, Slenderman was a creation of our own. Like, the reason why he is so powerful is because we created him and we created the fear of him. So when he finally got the power, you know, he decided to use it for evil or something like that. But then she ends it, and she's just like,
she cocks a shotgun. She's like, I'm coming for
you. No, that would have been better, actually. But the ending, she was just like, he'll always be out there, and he'll always be looking at us, you know.
What?
And, like, that's how it ends. And then literally that's how it ends, with the words, you know. And well, like, I hate that phrase in general, but for to end a movie like that was just weird.
That sucks.
It wasn't a period. It wasn't even like any punctuation. It was kind of just
like, what the fuck are we gonna do? That literally, gonna like, kill like, you. Like, just don't summon
they
it.
They just like
know?
Ran out of like the script writer was just like, I don't know, just finish it.
So he's out there, you know.
So it was done. Wow. I thought it was done. The horror creepiness was done well. There's a part of it where you can actually see them start to go crazy.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's this part where Ren is in the library. She's looking up a book about how he became real and stuff. And, like, they actually do offer some information about how this whole phenomenon is even possible. And, like, she found a book and she found, like, legit stats and, like, facts and figures and stuff. And she's trying to show people. But literally she gets lost on the way out of the library. Because of Slenderman.
Oh, okay.
And like she goes, like she so it's like she takes the book off the shelf and she turns around, and then it's just like a maze of bookshelves.
Oh.
And then like she's running down this one long corridor of bookshelves, and it does that like telescoping photo
where it
lens.
Gets longer and longer.
Where it gets longer and longer, and then she stops, and then like she hears like the creaking woods, and she's around bookshelves that are made of wood anyway. So like some of the books like fall off the shelf, and she looks, and then Slenderman like, and then literally, the librarian hits her with like the book cart, and that's how it snaps her out of it. And she's like, "Oh my god, are you okay?" Because she's like on the floor. She's like, "Oh my god, are you okay?" And she just like looks around, she grabs the books and runs. And I was like, "Follow the librarian." And I saw like somebody literally convulsing on the floor and like sweating and looking full of terror. I'd call someone.
Yeah, seriously.
You don't just be like, "Hey, are you okay?"
Shh. What are you doing?
Literally.
Get out of here.
Man. So they do that a lot. There's, you know, the dream sequence that I was talking about before. Hallie wakes up like out of sleep, and she goes to the woods. She's being called by the first girl, Katie, that was taken, that was, you know, disappeared.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, help me, Allie. So she runs into the woods, and obviously Slender Man's there waiting for her. Then she wakes up, and she just like rubs her stomach, and she's like running to the bathroom. We think she's gonna like throw up or whatever, but she like pulls a wood chip out of her mouth.
Oh, Jesus.
And like spits it out. And then when she looks back, she's pregnant, and she looks down, and then wood bursts out of her stomach.
Jesus Christ.
And then she wakes up again, and then she's in her bed, and then it's real life. But like, that fucked you up. Like, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting the creepiness. I wasn't expecting how like psychological it was gonna be, and I wasn't expecting how good the cinematography was going to be.
Uh-huh.
So like putting all that together and then it, shipping it as the package of Slenderman, I think it worked.
Would you say that it being Slenderman helped it? Or if you had made this movie about some other boogeyman that they totally made up?
It could have been completely anyone.
Yeah.
It could have been someone completely new. It could have been someone that we've known forever, just like with a new spin. It didn't have to be Slenderman. The fact that it was Slenderman, I don't think it helped it. I don't think it hurt it. It was just a good movie in general, I thought.
Okay. All right. So, I don't know. If I had gone to see this and I didn't get more of an explanation just because I followed the character, you know, since it blew up or whatever, and that's the main reason I'd go see this movie, just to be like, oh, I wonder what explanation they have for Slender Man. But all they're offering is a boogeyman that we made up and gave power because we're
because
scared
humans
of him.
Are bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And he's out there, you know?
He's out there, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that would have...
That bugged me.
That would have taken me out of the movie.
That
but
bugged me.
If
but
it's
it was
a,
literally,
if all those parts
it
are
was literally
creepy, as you say.
The last part of the movie.
Yeah.
And it was... And I literally was... I was waiting for it, like, waiting for something to happen. Maybe, like, even in a last jump scare or something, because they do that sometimes. And, we obviously know he's out there, so, like, they could make a Slender Man 2 if they really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for, like, that good sentence, period, punctuation, this is the end, what did you think?
Yeah.
But literally, like, she said that, and I, like, what? And I sat back in my chair, and I was like, really? Like, that's how it's going to end? And I was just so disappointed, because everything up to that point was, like, not bad.
Uh-huh.
And then I was just like, oh, come on. But overall, if you like scary movies, I think this is a good one to add to your list. I thought it was definitely something not completely new, but newish that I thought did well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like Truth or Dare tried to be something like this and didn't get it, and this one like maybe even, I mean, they probably produced and shot around the same time anyway, but this one kind of maybe learned a little bit from the mistakes of old or other more recent horror movies that didn't do well. There wasn't, you know, it's not a gory movie. There's not blood.
It's not an R-rated movie, right?
I think it's PG-13. Yeah, really PG-13. It's an hour and a half. It's got some really good acting. I got to say, these four girls, there's a couple times where, what's her name?
The main character?
No, Jazz Sinclair, when she's getting stalked by Slenderman, has to scream, like, a couple times in a row. And, like, she could scream.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, like...
Blood curdling every time?
Yeah, like, not every time, but, like, the first time she did it, it didn't curdle my blood, but it was, like, just about there.
Oh, okay.
And, she, I mean, they're young actresses, too, so it was very, like, refreshing to see young talent that good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all around... Not bad.
How many ghost camera phones out of 10 do you give this?
Ooh, oh my god, that ghost camera phone thing was
that's what scary. I'm most interested.
That was really
that's
scary.
I think that's what makes the best horror movies. It's the boogeyman has to be, for me at least,
technologically savvy.
Yeah, well, not technologically savvy, but has to be, you know, the rule, like we spoke before. Yes. Like the rules have to be
set,
and you can't be like, wait, oh, no. You didn't know about this. Yeah. If you got this one book, if you read this, you know, whatever.
You wouldn't know.
No, yeah. If the rules are set, like, you know, the way they are, and if the what the fuck moments are new or, you know, crazy.
Actually get you. Like you're what, like, the fuck?
Look down, you're pregnant, wood comes out of you. Like, that's, you know, going to stay with you.
Definitely what
something
the fuck
that
moment.
Sticks with you. Yeah. So, yeah, how many ghost camera phones out of 10 do you get this?
I'm definitely giving this 7 out of 10 ghost camera phones.
All right.
This was...
Would you say go see this in theaters?
You know what? If you're a fan of scary movies, this is...
Oh, just horror movies.
Yeah. Okay. If you're a fan of if you're a fan of horror movies, or if you like horror movies, this is, I feel like the ambiance of a theater does this movie justice.
Okay.
If you're someone who needs to watch movies with the lights on, obviously don't go. But if you're also someone that isn't, like, too fond of scary movies, I don't know that this one itself, by itself, would turn you onto scary movies.
Yeah.
It's good, and it'll get you... But I don't think it was amazing. It wasn't. It wasn't something that was like, I'm going to show my friend who doesn't like scary movies, and this will make him like scary movies.
Right.
It'll be like, this might scar him. Let's watch it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when it comes out on Netflix.
Okay. Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. I'm thinking about going to see it. So hopefully, if Movie Pass is better.
Yeah. I really do want to see Black Klansman too. So. Yeah.
Well, guess what? You don't have to, buddy, because I'm going to tell you all about it.
Let's,
and you'll never have to watch it.
Take a listen, guys.
Oh, man. You guys ready? All right. So I saw Black Klansman. This was Friday morning because of my movie pass only working then. And it's early 1970s, Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Yep.
We our main character is a Ron detective. Or he's not a detective. He's a rookie cop. Is Ron Stallworth is his name. He's the only black cop in the precinct because it's the early 70s and it's Colorado Springs. So
that's what happens.
He's dealing with bullshit because it's the early 70s and it's he's a black man in America. So
that's all you needed to say.
Yeah, he's a black man in America.
Dealing with
early 70s.
No, you don't even see the year.
That's true.
It's just black man in America.
But he's dealing with even more shit because it's just worse the further back you get. So he's... he's a model cop. Like, he's wanted to be a cop since he was a kid. He, you know, he is very respectable to his superiors, even when they're shitting on him and all that. You know, they're not in the precinct. They're not being outright racist.
Yeah.
You know, they're not like hardcore. He's not in the South.
Yeah.
So it's not like crazy. It's not like you're watching Django and like, fuck, man, this is making me feel a little weird.
Yeah.
But they do. Like, there's one cop in the precinct that's like the worst cop, and he's obviously like the most racist and like calling he's put in the evidence room. That's his first, you know, job as a cop, and he wants to do more.
Yeah.
The cops, they go to the evidence room and they ask him for files, and if it's ever a black person, they'll be like, I need a file on this toad. And then he like lets it slide the first time because he's like, what the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah.
But he's such a good cop and such a good person that he like eventually just doesn't put up with it anymore. So like someone will come up and be like, hey, I need to file on this toad. And he's just like, I don't have any toads here. You mean a person? I've got people. like, and then, you know, like, he gets, everyone doesn't think of him as a person with rights, if that makes any sense. They think of him as just a troublemaker.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, oh, he thinks he's hot shit. But it's like, no, he's just a person that doesn't want to be mistreated, you know? So he gets that reputation. He goes to his captain. He tells him that he doesn't want to do that. He wants, you know, more responsibility and that he'll do whatever it takes to do it. Yeah. So at first he says no, because he's like, you're a rookie. You're not, you know, you're in no position to be making demands.
You don't have experience, and I'm not going to give you experience so that you can get the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. You need experience for this job, but first get some experience. What? Yeah. So he goes back to the evidence room, and out of nowhere, the chief is like, you know what? I do have a job for you. We have an undercover job. And that's exactly what I thought when I saw it. I was like, oh, fuck. So the movie starts with him. Like, he's going to become this undercover, but they want to put him undercover into this meeting that the Black Student Union is having at the college campus. And it's because the chief thinks that Black Panthers are like the biggest threat to America.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So he's just like, I need you to go into this meeting. This. You're the only one that can blend in. So wear this wire and just, you know, try and see if they come, if they're looking to violently attack us or something, you know, cause we need to find, we need to keep on tabs, you know, tabs on these guys. And, you know,
on
he's
the
just
BSU
like,
of the local college.
Right. Yeah. So he's going to do whatever. Cause he's like,
cause he has to,
cause he's a cop. Yeah. He's just like, oh, you guys, you think they're a threat. So he's like shiny eyed, like I'm ready to take down crime no matter what. Right. So he does it. And like, this is where he meets Adam Driver's character, Flip Zimmerman, who's like
Flip.
His name is Phil, but they call him Flip. And he's the one that puts the wire on him. And then they like get to talk in there and get to know each other. So he goes to this meeting. And he starts chatting up the student union president, who becomes the love interest in the movie, Patrice.
Oh, okay.
So he's just like going there, and they go into like this lecture, and there's a talk being had by a guest speaker who is played by Corey Hawkins, who is in Straight Outta Compton. He played Dr. Dre. It was really good. He does this speech, and this is where you really first start to notice the cinematography, because he'll do like, it's very stylized because it's Spike Lee.
Yeah.
But Jordan Peterson also had a hand in this. So it was fun to see that, because Spike Lee has his style.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very distinct, right? Like, it's like a bunch of jump cuts, and like he'll put in music and like, you know, like a picture out of nowhere and stuff like that. He'll just do whatever he wants because he's fucking Spike Lee, and it's awesome. And but you saw it like have a modern touch with Jordan Peele's influence, I think, because there were moments of like levity and like comedy throughout, but it was also like this guy was giving a speech, and it was very like, you know, very dramatic and very heavy, like the topics he was talking about. And it'll just jump cut to a shot of somebody in the audience, and they're just in darkness, but like you see like just their face, and then it'll be like another person, and then you just see like different reactions through different things that he's saying, and then it'll go back to our main character, and he'll be like, you'll start to see him like take in what he has to say and really like, huh, yeah, I get what the struggle is, you know, like, but I don't see any danger in it, because they're not, you know, outright violent. They're not like, we have to kill all these people. I mean, they do say like, defend yourself, and you know, because like they will, because white cops out there will kill you no matter what. And you know, so he's like, there's a little meeting, like, you know, like just little, like you can go up and like, you know, speak to the speaker for a second and, you know, shake his hand. And he's just like, he's still undercover. So he's just like, hey, do you think I really need to like defend myself? And like, there's going to be a race war, like that's going to happen. And he says like, just arm yourself, because it can go down at any moment. You got to be ready to kill for your, you know, for you and your people and stuff. And you know, that's the evidence he takes back to the chief. And he's like, the chief is like, we have to stay on top of these guys, because they were saying we have to kill cops, because the cops are going to kill us if they don't. And Adam Driver's character sort of agrees with Ron in this, and he's just like, yeah, He said that, but I'm pretty sure that they're just, you know, they're fine. They're just doing this out of reaction to the way they're being treated. So they're not, you know, they're not going to actually, you know, kill anyone or, you know. So, and the night that the talk happened, the student union president took the speaker back to the hotel. They got stopped by cops, and it was like a really uncomfortable scene of white cops mistreating them.
Yeah.
Like the student, the Patrice was being like felt up by the cop, and everybody was just like, get your goddamn hands off her. And then he's just like calling them all slurs and saying like he can do whatever he wants and stuff. So, he like after the talk, he asked Patrice like out, like he's like, hey, you want to go out and get a drink? And she's like, let me go take this guy back to the hotel and I'll meet you at the bar. And then she meets him and tells him the story. And he knows who the cop, like he know he's part of the precinct.
Yeah.
He doesn't know who the cop is. We later find out it's the really bad cop in the precinct.
Of course.
And she tells him this and it's hard for him to hear, but he like takes an interest in her and they start, you know, sparks start flying and they dance and they have a good time. The music in this movie is really good. It's like all 70s music and he has like his own theme, I think. Like Ron has his own theme because whenever like something shitty happens, or it's very like 70s like Shaft music. Yeah. Like it's very like it's pretty cool. I forget how it goes, but it was a guitar riff and it was just like very mellow and just like, yeah, he's a detective in the 70s. This is awesome. So Ron is now part of the he's part of the detective group. And he's going through the paper and he comes across an ad that says, if you want to join the KKK, call us and we'll talk about a membership. So he does. What I loved about this movie was that it's 2 hours and change. I think it's 2 hours and like a half long or something. It flies by. I did not feel it like at all. And it was because of this pacing. It was this pacing where you saw plenty of the racially driven material, but it was so, I wouldn't say fast, but just right. Just, it kept moving. It never stopped and dwelled on any moment to like make you like really feel like, you know, like this is fucked up. It was just like, see how fucked up that is? Let's move on to the next fucked up thing. Cause this is what happens, you know? So he just doesn't get assigned anything. He just picks up the phone, calls the thing and puts on like his most professional white voice. And he's just like, I hate, you know, and he goes into all the racial slurs and like the precinct is a buzz and he starts with his phone call. And then as soon as he starts with all the racial slurs, everyone just turns around and it's just like, what the fuck? And it's crazier because he's black and he's saying all these things. So he convinces the guy he's talking to that he also, which is great in this movie, he makes a lot of rookie mistakes because he doesn't know how to be a detective.
Yeah.
He uses his real name. He's just like, this is Ron Stallworth and I want to join the KKK. And then he hangs up the phone and the first thing Flip says to him is like, did you just use your real fucking name? And he's like, oh shit. He's just like, oh no, I totally forgot. And so he did it, I guess, just to like see if it goes anywhere.
Yeah.
And they call him back like immediately because he leaves a message, hangs up. 2 seconds goes by and he gets the phone call from the same guy. Then he talks to him about, you know, joining up. And so he's like, hey, you sound like you're for real because you're just saying the most hateful shit. So meet me here and we'll talk about it. So he obviously can't go. So Flip.
Really?
Yeah. So Flip is going to be the guy. He's going to be Ron in real life whenever he has to meet them. And he's going to be the guy on the phone. And they like, he has to like do his voice.
Yeah.
He doesn't really like, you know, like when, like if you watch the scenes where he's undercover, you'll see that his, you know, accent or whatever, that he's not really doing a voice, but they don't really seem to notice most of the time. So yeah, because like the first time he meets with them, he's just like, hey, you kind of sound a little different. And they're just like, oh, it's my allergies or whatever.
I have a cold.
Yeah.
All this racism.
Yeah. All this racism's got me, gave me something. Some sort of cancer. So he goes to meet him, and so the KKK is the chapter in Colorado Springs is made up of like the leader who he spoke to on the phone, and then the most important character, the other important character is the lieutenant who's very wary of any newcomers and sort of just does not trust Ron from the start. So he's the main source of conflict throughout the case, because he's always just like, he's a liar. He's not, you know, he's not who he says he is. Yeah. He wants him to take a lie detector test, like first his first KKK meeting, and Ron has to like jump in. Like Ron is outside in a surveillance like car, just listening in, and then he finds out that he took him to the basement, and he's like gonna make him take a lie detector test, like the gun pointed at him, and because he thinks he's Jewish, which he is in the movie, but he's like I know a Jew and I see one, like that's his logic or whatever. You know? So he's just like,
I don't need any explanation. Yeah. You just look it.
And obviously, like, I'm having trouble trying to tell you what happens in this movie, because it's all like the dialogue is all mostly coming from like KKK members in the early 70s. So they're saying some crazy shit, and all of their wives are super racist. Like they're a system. They're like a family, and they just attract other families that are super racist, because they're having like this Klan meeting in a living room. And the wife will come and be like, I made cheese and crackers. Oh, by the way, I saw this N-word walk down the street. And, you know, like they're all like, you know, that's life.
That's
for
how
them.
They call them. Yeah.
And that's the most, that's the best thing about this movie, is you're watching just
it's real.
Them being in their natural habitat. Like this, like that wasn't that long ago when you think about it. And you're kind of like sure that that still exists in the South mainly. But it's, you know, it's prevalent. And they do have a lot of Trumpisms like sprinkled throughout this movie. The KKK at this time, I guess, was trying to conceal its more racist tendencies and trying to focus on making it political with Topher Grace's character. He's playing David Duke, the actual grand wizard of the KKK and national president or whatever. And he like throughout the movie, they're always talking about making America great.
Yeah.
America's not great anymore. We need to make it great again. You know, just like, you know, just to like throw it on there. Just like, you know what we're trying to get at here, right? You know who our president is, right?
This sounds familiar, right?
You know that our president supported this guy, right? This guy, David Duke. And the case is fun. Like they have fun comedic stuff. When like Flip will say something and he's like actually talking like about how stupid they are or how they don't know that they've been talking to a black guy this entire time, and then they'll laugh, but he'll be laughing for a different reason, that kind of thing. Let's see. I mean, so God, hold on. I'm just navigating through the racism. I'm trying to find something.
Push it aside.
Yeah.
Kind of like crawl through
I'm
it. It's
so
like
hard.
Waist high,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, because it's so the unhinged dude in the chapter. He's the one that wants to like
the lieutenant.
Yeah, the lieutenant. He wants to be violent. He wants to kill
black
people and like plant bombs and like, you know,
oh,
like
shit.
Like take action. Like he wants to take his country back. You know, so. He's the unhinged one, and the leader doesn't want to be the leader anymore. And he gets so close to Ron that he wants Ron to take over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like that's how racist he was being or whatever, like how, not, like he was just really good at being racist. And, he eventually starts to talk to David Duke on the phone, and Topher Grace does a great job of being just like
a racist asshole.
But like, you know, he, you know how he was like Eric Foreman, like very pompous and, you know, like, you know, he does that, but racist and it's funny. It's good. He does a really good job. And there are moments where he'll try and explain why his views are right. Like with science and stuff. And he wants like, And while he's on the phone with him, there will be times where he'll like have to hold the phone because he's laughing because he can't believe what he's hearing and stuff. And other people will come by his desk and listen in and just be like, "What the fuck?" man. And so eventually he gets close in with David Duke, and he's like the captain wants to take him off the case, but he starts to show the captain that it's like
working.
It's working, and these people are the ones that want to blow shit up and kill people. Not the Black Panthers or, you know, any of the BSU. So he's like, he's getting in deeper with the KKK and eventually like is gonna do an initiation ceremony where it's the weirdest thing, dude.
Oh my god,
it's the weirdest thing. And it's gotta be true, I guess, because I didn't do any research, but they're all in a church and it's like a ceremony. Like there's like a reception afterward and stuff. So everyone's in their robes and they just like, you have to get up and like do an oath kind of a thing. Like someone asks you like the grand wizard will have you in front of them and be like, do you, this person, hate this, and will uphold all the white America's values. And, you know, and then you have to say, I do, or whatever. Then he sprinkles holy water on you.
Oh my god!
Because it's very religious. Yes. You know? And then they watch The Birth of a Nation, which is a movie that was released, I don't know, way back whenever Woodrow Wilson was president. And it was a great scene because it was the ceremony juxtaposed with the Black Student Union had another guest speaker, and he was talking about this person that was mentally challenged but was wrongly convicted of the rape of a white woman. Mm-hmm. And he was just dragged out of the court and like beaten to death, stabbed to death, lit on fire, lynched, all of it. And they like celebrated it. They let kids come out of school early to see it.
What?
There were like crowds around it, like, you know, like cheering it on and stuff. And it's just, that's juxtaposed with them watching the movie. And they're all like, yeah, woohoo. Like, yeah. And the movie's like America back then. So it's showing white people in blackface, and black people that are like depicted in as thieves and murderers. And, you know, like, and then someone in the movie is a black person is convicted of a crime or something and had that treatment or whatever it was. And then the guest speaker goes into that happened in real life because of the movie.
Yeah.
Because that movie had just come out and people were so like riled for up. It.
Yeah.
That it happened, like, just, you know, this guy was convicted of this crime and they're like, let's do what we saw in the movie because that's what happens. And
because that's America.
Yeah. And they do it. And just like they were playing it, like they were switching the scene back and forth between this guy talking about it, these people hooting and hollering over it happening. And even Woodrow Wilson said like it was he played it at the White House and said it was one of the greatest movies or something.
Ugh.
It's just so good at showing you how shitty America is and was. But yeah, very poignant movie with enough comedy and enough stylistic sort of, I don't know, cinematography and the writing was really good that it got you through it and not only entertained you but showed you how ugly America was and can be. I'm leaving out a bunch of like big parts mainly because I want you to, you know, watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I was entertained throughout the whole thing. The dynamic between all the actors and, you know, their characters were so great because it was like this terrible like situation they found themselves in. But also one of them was the guy who was on the phone while one of them was the guy in real life. So they had to collaborate on a lot of things, and then they started to find common ground because Adam Driver's character is Jewish and he never really identified with anything because he grew up as like just like another white guy in America. Yeah. Like his parents didn't celebrate his heritage or whatever, so he's like starting to think about it for the first time in his life. And you know, everyone starts to bond over it. The rookie becomes the detective and his love interest with Patrice grows throughout the movie, even though she's so against cops.
Mm-hmm.
And he does the thing where he, you know, is undercover so he doesn't tell her, and then eventually does, and she gets mad, but she, you know, still cares for him anyway. But yeah, it was just really good. Really, it works as a period piece. It works as a racially like eye-opening film, but it's also entertaining. So it's just this wonderful mix of a bunch of different things. You could have gone into this movie expecting any one of those things, but you get them all. And that's pretty good. It's pretty good. I will say at the end of the movie, there's just like the end of the movie, and then there are video clips of what happened in Charleston, Virginia, and that guy that ran through the crowd of protesters, and just protesters fighting with neo-Nazis and stuff like that. And it's just showing Trump's speeches where he was talking about the events and how he was, remember when he was just, I know it's hard to remember anything Trump does or says because he does something every fucking day, but he was like, you had bad people on one side and you had bad people on the other side also. And, you know, some of them were Nazis, some of them weren't. So, you know, they're bad on both sides, you know, just like not saying what needed to be said. And David Duke, like in some of his speeches and stuff, just like this sort of news clip montage of how terrible, like how it still happens today and stuff. And then it ends with an image of the U.S. flag upside down, and it turns into black and white, and then the movie's over, or then it's really over. But yeah, that was just like more that, I don't know if it needed that, but also, yeah, I mean, that does happen now.
Yeah,
you know, it's Spike Lee, so he's, that's the Spike Lee stuff, just, you know, throwing it on there for good measure, just in case you didn't get it, you know. And
BT Dubs, this movie's about racism.
Yeah. And then at the end, there was some little girl, and she was like, racism's still out there, you know? And that was it. And then it really ended.
And then that was
the real end.
Gotcha.
That was
how it tied into
it. Yeah, that was a I didn't spoil too much of it, but I think I got most of my review across. I just don't want to repeat any of the stuff I heard. Because it's really
don't.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
It's super bad. Just think about someone going undercover into the KKK.
I can imagine.
That's what happens.
And it's awful.
It's really bad. Yeah.
I would never. Well, I could never, but I wouldn't also never.
Yeah. Yeah. But good performances all around. Very entertaining movie. Very poignant. And here we are.
Here we are. All right.
2018.
Very good. How many... I don't know, you didn't really talk about it too much. how many grand wizards out of 10 would you give this movie?
I'm gonna go ahead and give this movie 8 grand wizards out of 10.
Eight grand wizards.
Because of all the things I said. It's
because listen to the review.
Because listen to what I just said. Yeah.
Awesome. Great. Yeah. So definitely need to see this.
Definitely need recommend to see
it
this.
For the movies.
Recommend it. Movies, if you want to go to, if you're interested in history or a good cop movie or any Spike Lee joint, for sure go see this in the theater. I went to go see it and it was pretty, it was more packed than I expected.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Like I got there a little late and it was just like, I couldn't find a seat almost. It was pretty packed. But yeah, see it no matter what for sure. But If you're in for it, go see it in the theater.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. And if you got 2.5 hours, but it'll fly by, I promise.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that is the end of this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you.
If you have any questions or if you have any comments about our reviews, if you disagree with us, if you agree with us, please let us know.
Any recommendations, anything you want us to change about ourselves as people, let us know.
We can be reached at relativelysubjective@gmail.com, Instagram and Facebook at Relatively Subjective, and Twitter, RelSubPod.
That's right.
So comment, like, subscribe. Share, subscribe, all the social media things, all those plugs, and we'll be coming at you next week with another episode.
That's right, and it's going to be a topic because nothing's coming out that we want to watch, or, there's nothing to even put up for a poll, I think. Unless you want to watch Alpha. You want to watch Alpha?
Not really.
All right. Yeah, me either.
But yes, also be more aware of our social media. We're going to be putting up more polls as the winter months come and more better movies come out.
Yes, more so, better movies.
More better movies.
More better movies.
Unless you also just don't care and want us to do double features every week.
Then
let us know about that too.
Let us know. Unless there are movies where I don't we
really
want to
see
spoiled.
Other movies. Yeah. Gotcha. All right. All right, may all your men's be slender.
You're not going to use the whole thing?
What do you mean? Both of them? No, I only saw one.
Oh, okay.
May all your men be slender.
May all your clansmen be black? No. I guess?
Well, I mean, I hope there's no
clansmen. May all your men be Black clans. May all your clans.
There's no way to do it. That's may right.
All your no.
No.
No. May all your men be Black clans is where I'm going with.
Okay.
That's it. That's all you're getting. I'm not gonna play around with these words. I'm not shuffling these around anymore.
There's danger here.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.
Your kids can listen to this, but they shouldn't.
Bye.
Bye.